It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, March 29th. I'm Patricia Naft. Highway 149 outside of Lake City was closed yesterday due to an accident. A semi-truck hauling lumber tipped while turning a corner. Officials with Colorado Highway Patrol say that no one was injured and the road was opened quickly. Rollovers like this happen occasionally, they say, especially on windy mountain passes. The lawsuit brought by several Colorado sheriffs against the state over gun control laws was thrown out. While definitely not a win for the group, it wasn't necessarily a loss. This is Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee, one of the plaintiffs in the case.
So basically what that did, it vacated a decision from the district court. The district court said we didn't have standing, but this said nobody had standing. So resets it, the way our attorney put it, the score is reset to 0-0, and everything in the past is wiped off and we start over.
The group of sheriffs and other organizations are trying to change gun laws that put restrictions on the capacity of gun magazines and widened background checks for gun transfers. McKee says their attorney is hopeful and is working to preparing the new lawsuit. The U.S. Department of Labor announced a new rule last week that aims to better protect workers, including oil and gas workers, from something called silica dust. It replaces standards that were more than 40 years old. Inside Energy's Lee Patterson reports.
Silica is found in materials like sand, granite, and concrete. Breathing in too much of the dust that results from working with these materials can cause a lung disease called silicosis and lung cancer. The Department of Labor estimates that around 2.3 million people are exposed to silica at work. That would include sandblasters and brick makers, as well as oil and gas workers who handle the sand used in fracking. The new federal rule lowers the limit of acceptable silica exposure. It also requires employers to provide respiratory protection when necessary, and in some cases, medical exams. For Inside Energy, I'm Lee Patterson.
State lawmakers are about to debate the annual budget. This year, the bill begins in the Democratic-controlled House before going to the Republican-controlled Senate. It funds everything from roads and schools to health care and parks. And Colorado has a shortfall, so that means making budget cuts. Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about some of the major budget issues the House will debate this week.
I'm here with John Frank, a reporter for the Denver Post, and Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. John, big picture, how much are we going to see in cuts, and what are some of the issues they've been grappling with?
Colorado budget writers started with a nearly $200 million deficit they had to fill, and they've worked to close that gap through a number of budget tricks and cuts. For one, we're not going to see Tabor refunds in fiscal year 16-17, which is a significant change. A number of accounting moves eliminated those refunds. The second part is transportation funding was cut about $50 million, down from $200 to $150, so that's a big gap. And then the budget writers tapped a number of cash accounts to bring in new money and kind of fill in the gaps here and there.
And what are some of the cash accounts? I know before they've looked at severance taxes and things like that.
Exactly. Severance taxes are not a part of this, from what I'm aware so far, but marijuana tax cash fund, marijuana taxes went up big, so the cash fund is able to pay back the budget a lot sooner this year, and that's about a $16 million hole. And they've gone to public school accounts and a few others just to bring in $5 million here, $8 million there, and that just helped them bring it into balance.
And all this might change if they ever get around to doing a compromise on the hospital provider fee, which is could free up about $350 million in the budget and kind of change the picture. Problem is that the politics are still so deep in that. Well, the Republicans continue to say that they don't want to do that, even though all their arguments seem to be falling away. The Democrats keep saying, first they argued that this wasn't legal, and then they got an opinion from a Republican attorney general saying, yes, it is. And then they started saying, well, we're trying to protect refunds, and then we got a revenue forecast that said there aren't going to be any refunds, so what are you protecting? And so the governor has said that he continues to negotiate with them. The politics, you can't ever separate in this building, is about to get heated up a little bit here.
Yeah, the hospital provider fee debate, this big thing we've been following all session, both sides, Republicans and Democrats, chewing at each other on it, has really started to fade. And the governor admitted this when he talked to reporters recently, that the urgency is not as strong, though he still wants to do it, as Charles said. But without a Tabor refund, the hospital provider fee switch and moving that to an enterprise fund won't actually benefit the budget much at all.
Given that it's so political, if it's not going to impact the budget and they're not staring at that reality, I think it's going to be harder to actually push something through when they are going to have other things to deal with.
Right, but they still want to do it for the next couple of years because the refunds are projected to come back in 17 and 18 and 19. And so it's something they still might want to do, but probably it's going to have to wait till next year's session.
And just to give listeners a preview, the budget will be on the House floor initially. And as you mentioned, John, the budget committee's been working on this for months, but this will be the chance for other legislators to weigh in and offer their amendments.
They'll send it through committee meetings and caucuses from each political party. We'll discuss it, and they'll do votes later in the week. But there are going to be some major questions here. For one, the budget includes $2.5 million in funding for long-acting contraception, a major issue for Republicans. Two, they cut transportation funding to balance the budget. That's a huge issue, particularly for House Republicans. So the budget has the votes to pass with the Democratic majority, of course, but how much it changes and how much of a fight Republicans put up will be really interesting to watch.
Thanks. That was John Frank with the Denver Post and Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Yesterday began a five-day closure of westbound North San Juan Avenue near U.S. 50 in Montrose. Transportation officials say a signed detour for motorists is in place, and the eastbound lanes of North San Juan Avenue will remain open. Additionally, single-lane closures on U.S. 50 are planned. Two lanes of the highway will be reduced to one lane in each direction near the intersection of North San Juan Avenue. Transportation officials say the closures will allow construction crews to remove and relocate a storm water pipe, and traffic delays near the intersection are expected, especially during commute hours. Officials estimate the closure of the westbound lanes on San Juan Avenue will end Friday evening. However, the single-lane closures on U.S. 50 are expected to continue through May. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.